Lord willing, we'll finish Hebrews next week and then dive into the Gospel of John. I reckon we'll probably fly through John. It'll only take about 2 years. But tonight we're in Hebrews 13, verse 9. The Bible says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to the Lord continually, to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." So tonight, established with grace. Let's pray. Lord, use your word tonight to grow us and to teach us. We are grateful for this privilege to assemble and to open your word together. And Lord, we ask you now to multiply it in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So God here wants us to be established with grace. We read here at the end of verse 9. And he lists for us some of the ways that he wants this to be true in a practical sense in our lives. And the first one he mentions there in verse 9 is doctrine. He says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines." We need the grace of the Lord. We need to be established with grace. And one of the ways that can be more true in our lives is if we're grounded in the Word. There's a lot of Christians not grounded in the Word. And therefore they're not established with grace, because they're not established in the Word. So God gives us a lot of exhortation about this in his Word. But specifically, Ephesians 4:14, let's just look at that one. Ephesians 4:14, very important verse for Christians. Notice he says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So 2,000 years ago, God prophesied that there would be winds of doctrine. Still true today. Some new thing keeps coming out. You know what? There is no new thing. The Word is done. And if somebody says there's a new thing, you know right away, it's wrong. But he says we should not be tossed to and fro. We need to be established in his Word, established with grace. And as you know, we're commanded in the Word to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, 2 Timothy 2:15. So we need to be careful to be established in his Word so we might be established with grace. This grace is endless, right? He giveth more grace, the Bible says in James chapter 4. But it's a reservoir that we can only tap into as we're obedient, as we're close to God, as we're in his Word. And this is one of the areas where God wants us to be established, is in a doctrine, in his Word. The word doctrine just means truth. So he wants us to be grounded in the truths of his Word. And if you go to 1 Timothy 6, just one other verse on this. And talking to Timothy and exhorting him as a pastor, he mentions doctrine here in 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. He says, "If a man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to doctrine, which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereby cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from with such withdraw thyself." But notice he says, doctrine. Doctrine. How important doctrine is. So, first of all, we see as we talk about being established with grace, God wants us to be established in doctrine. Aren't we commanded to grow in grace? 2 Peter 3:18. We memorized that at family camp 2 years ago, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So God wants us to be established with grace. Because grace, if you go to Titus chapter 2, grace, again, is because it's coming from God, it's infinite. But grace also teaches us some things. Notice here in Titus 2, verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us." So grace teaches us. What does it teach us? Number one, deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Number two, live soberly, righteously, and godly. Number three, looking for that blessed hope, looking for Jesus. And number four, he purified himself, pure people, zealous of good works. So God wants the investment of his grace to reap interest, if you will, through denying sin, living a godly life, looking for Jesus, and serving the Lord. He gives his grace so that we can tap into it and be what we need to be for him. So number one, we need to be established in doctrine. Notice he says in verse 12, "Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." Suffered without the gate. When Jesus died, it wasn't at the temple. It was at Mount Calvary. It was outside the city. That was so that, again, he could be a perfect fulfillment of the sacrificial animals of the Old Testament. They were commanded to take them without the gate, without the camp. And even when people were to be punished, like in Leviticus 24, it says, "Bring forth him that is cursed out of the camp and stone him with stones." In Numbers 15, the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. Why without the camp? Well, to get it's symbolic of removing the sin from the camp. When Jesus became sin for us, who knew no sin. So when we talk about being without the camp, verse 13, it says, "Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing reproach." So we, if you go to 1 Corinthians 4, we are going to face persecution. We're going to face attacks because we're Christians. The Bible says, "Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not," in 1 John 3:1. The world doesn't know us. They don't know who we are. They don't understand what Christians are. And so we're going to have to go out without the camp too. We're going to have to bear the reproach of Christ sometime in our Christian walk. Notice 1 Corinthians 4:13. The Bible says, "Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day." Paul talking about himself and the other disciples. He said, "Look at us. Here we are, the disciples of the Creator of the universe, the founders of the church, the writers of the New Testament. And for at least 2,000 years, people are going to look back and hold them up as examples. And yet they refer to themselves as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things." They were constantly being chased and attacked and sometimes stoned and arrested, and eventually killed. So what God is saying is, when those times come, we're going to need grace. And the grace will be there. We need to be established with grace so that when the persecution and attacks come, we're ready. Thirdly, verse 14, we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So he says, here on earth, everything that we see, the cities that we choose to live in, will not last. They're all going to burn up. Rotorua is going to burn up. But we seek one to come. We seek a continuing city. And of course, we know that city is heaven. And if you go to Hebrews 11, God talks about this city. We saw it here in Hebrews 11, verse 13. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Look at verse 16. "But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." I believe it's specifically talking about the city of God, the New Jerusalem, we read about in Revelation 21. But what God is saying is, We need the grace of God to keep our focus on eternal things and not on earthly things. It takes grace. So, as we see here, this grace is important. We need to be established in grace so that we can be grounded in the Word and doctrine and truth, so that we can be able to handle the reproach that's going to come because we're Christians, and so that we can keep our focus, as the Bible says, set your affection on things above. In Colossians chapter 3, not on things on the earth. Jesus says, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." In Matthew 6, "Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." So it takes the grace of God, because we live in this world. And it's always pulling at us and trying to pull us into it and make it our focus. So we need to be established with grace so we can stay focused on eternity. What number was that? Was that 3? Yes. So, doctrine, bear reproach, and keep focused on eternal things. Number 4, verse 15. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Talked a bit about this in the past year, but as Christians, it is so important that we learn to praise and thank God. And it's okay to draw upon the grace of God to make that real in your life. But we need to learn to make it a habit. If you go to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, make it a habit to praise God, to thank God all the time, even for the trials. And God tells us over and over in the Scriptures, and here's just a couple of examples. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, look what it says. In what? Everything, give thanks. To who? To God. Everything. When God says everything, He means everything. And then go back to Ephesians 5:20, and we'll see it again. So we need the grace of the Lord to live a life of praise and thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for what? All things. Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All things. So we need to be praising God continually. And God gives us the grace to make that real. He lives in us in the person of the Holy Ghost. And as he says in Psalm 133, verse 1, "How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity." That's not the verse I wanted. I wanted the verse that talks about how praise is comely for the upright. Maybe that's Psalm 33, verse 1. Yes, "Rejoice in the Lord, all you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." It's comely for the upright. It looks good on us. So we need to be established with grace, that we might be founded in doctrine, that we might be able to handle the reproaches that are going to come our way. The Bible says, "All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Number 3, that we can keep our focus on eternal things rather than earthly things. It takes the grace of God to stay focused. Number 4, to be a Christian that's constantly praising and thanking God. And then lastly, in verse 16, do good and to communicate. That's very practical, is it not? Do good. To who? Everyone. Do good. And that word communicate is not talking about with our words. This is the older usage of communicate, which means in our actions, our behavior. to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. What sacrifices are those? Doing good and communicating to others. That's a way that we can offer up a New Testament equivalent sacrifice to the Lord, equivalent to the animals of the old. So 1 Peter 2:5, let's look at that. This matter of doing good and communicating, we need the grace of God to live a life of giving to others. And I'm not talking about financially necessarily, but giving of ourselves, giving of our, using our gifts to be a blessing to our brothers and sisters and to the unsaved. 1 Peter 2:5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What are these spiritual sacrifices? Well, we just read about them. To do good and to communicate. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We need the grace of God to do that. So God wants us to be established with grace. And, you know, we could take the next 5-10 minutes and just talk about verses on grace, couldn't we? Because there's so many verses about the grace of God. Praise God for His grace. That's what saved us, right? For by grace are you saved, through faith. So we need to be established with grace. Remember, God has an infinite reservoir of grace. We don't deserve His grace. But because we're His children, He makes it available. Where do we get it? At the throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy and find what? Grace to help in time of need. So we need to be established in doctrine. Go to the throne of grace and get established. We need grace to handle the reproaches that are going to come our way scripturally, properly, like Jesus did. Go to the throne of grace. We need grace to keep our focus on heaven and not on the things on the earth. Go to the throne of grace. We need grace to be a praising, thanksgiving Christian. Go to the throne of grace. God will give it. And we need grace to do good and to communicate. So we need to be established with grace. Let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for your